Nerd Soul.
Woo! Yeah, late. Okay, app on yourself. Hold it down. Bring that street geek and know it. So, what is up, my people, today? Today, coming with another wonderful episode of That's Right, Dapio Dope. We are joined here. Nerd Soul Lights in the house, but of course, the co-host as well, Clement Bryant. Say what's up.
It's good, man. It's July 4th weekend, but it's not going to be much of a July 4th because of COVID.
No, you better stay your butt at home and eat a hamburger or something.
Right? I mean, that part right there. But things are all right, man. How's things? How are you?
Chilling, grinding, you know, trying to stay inside, stay safe, but still stay extremely productive.
Yeah.
And I saw what we're getting ready to talk about now. I saw trending, and I was like, oh, Ray Fisher, you probably, you know, did something or, you know, like, you know, like a new role or something like that.
Yeah.
Cast a new role. And I go, and he drops a tweet that says, Joss Whedon's on-set treatment of the cast and crew of Justice League was gross, abusive, unprofessional, and completely unacceptable. He was enabled in many ways by Jeff Johns and John Berg. Accountability is greater than entertainment.
Yeah,
and he dropped that yesterday. Nine nineteen in the morning.
Yeah, I was just finishing out my first meal of the day, getting my coffee, sitting down to work, and it was so notable because my boss was like, "Yo, did you see this Justice League drama?" I was like, and so like at the same time. My Black Lightning podcast crew, and then my boss hit me up in like literally like a minute apart about it. So I was like, oh shit. I was like, oh no. Yeah, man. Like I thought that the shade towards Joss would have been limited at that first tweet that he did where he quote tweeted himself and was like, I retract my statement at Comic-Con. Because he said at Comic-Con before Justice League came out and it was the panel with him and Jason and all the others, Ray was like, oh, I think Joss is a great guy to take over for Zach, blah, blah, blah. You know, and he's great to work with. And then he quote-tweeted himself and then was like, I retract that statement. I was like, okay. He got his words out just a little bit. But then, I think it was yesterday or 2 days later, he goes in like, Joss Whedon, like, the tweet you read, I was like, oh man, this is and like literally by the time I like sat down, got my coffee, got back up, put stuff in the dishwasher, sat down, it was trending. So I was like, oh man, what happened?
And Joss Whedon actually liked it?
No, it's just trended. But there's been a lot of discussion around Joss and Justice League. Going back to like when he first took over. So it's like the whole thing with Joss is before we knew him to be, you know, problematic, you know, he was the geek savant of, you know, Buffy, Dr. Horrible, Whedonverse, Dollhouse, S.H.I.E.L.D., Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Avengers. And like, dude, I love Joss's work, but when it came out a few years ago that his wife went in the rap, it was like basically blasted him for being like, yo, he doesn't actually follow his feminist ideals. He cheated on me, this, that, and the third. I was like, all right. And then I hear all about the stuff that he pulled with Charisma Carpenter on Angel. And I'm like, all right, so it's not stacking up well for Joss.
Nah, and then also you can see that since Justice League, They've kind of cooled, you know, Hollywood has kind of cooled down on Joss Whedon.
A little bit. I mean, he has a new show for HBO Max in development.
But I thought that was stuck in development purgatory.
Not the last time I heard about it. Maybe I'm wrong, but
I thought that was in development purgatory, and I was thinking it was probably because something regarding him. When I saw the statement, the first thing I thought about the statement was, because I'm of a couple of minds of this. When I first saw the statement, I was like, bruh, like,
yeah.
I feel you, but this is mad vague. Can we get some, like, can we get, like, some facts and figures with this? Because just being gross, like, yo, we don't know. It's almost like you should have just handled this internally and not told us, or told us and told us. Like, I feel like you're giving us a half a cup of tea. But then I'm also of the mind of, you do this to play your cards, to raise your stock, especially at this time, you know, with everything moving forward, with the visibility that, you know, marginalization of Black people in these spaces, i.e. Hollywood, is doing. This is probably the best time to do this. You know what I'm saying?
Maybe.
So I think about that as well. But then I also think about, he had to be vague to a certain point, because you don't want to go so far that you get blackballed. Because Joss Whedon isn't the only director that's gross and unprofessional. So if it's known that when you get on the set and you just gonna be like, oh, well, I had a bad time, so I'm gonna just tell everybody about it, even though it's 3 years later, I mean, you'll still be able to finish the movie. But they started filming before the movie dropped, so it's probably more like 5 years later or whatever. But anyway, the point is, you know, they might want to blackball him because he always, you know, telling the drama. So I feel a couple of ways about it, but it's, you know, I just ended up coming away like, well, we don't really know any more about, but then once again, this could be to throw more goodwill on the Snyder Cut.
So, see, and I'm of,
you know, there's a couple minds. Angles for this.
It's not a cut. Okay, say what you will about Joss, that's one thing, right?
Yeah.
He's not the only one to come out about like Joss's treatment of other people on set. Mm. That said, it's not a clear and cut dry issue of what happens after this, because literally in the hour after Ray tweeted that, hour and a half, 2 hours, Collider and WB announced that Jason Momoa is going to be voicing Frosty the Snowman in a new live-action CGI hybrid movie, and guess who's producing it? Jeff Johns and John Byrne. Mm. So that's the first thing, that even though that Ray is entitled to his opinion coming out against WB, especially the fact of he's going to be involved in the Snyder Cut, because and they have this, it creates a really bad PR angle for WB to deal with. Literally, like, not even like half a day went past before WB issued a statement about it. So one, he's created a PR issue for the studio. Two,
well, one could argue that the second they hired Joss Whedon, they created a PR issue for themselves. That was just a tip of the time.
True.
So one could argue that. Someone would be like, yo, like, you know, we, in sports terms, they're like, why are you hiring this guy? Yes, he gives you 20 points a game, but you know he can't stay out the streets. He's always in TMZ and blah, blah. So you're bringing on a liability from the get-go.
But you know also, I mean? There's the HBO Max part of it too, because it'd be one thing if HBO Max didn't exist right now. This was like a different universe and the same exact thing happened, Snyder Cut was still happening, but HBO Max wasn't part of it, wouldn't be that. That's the issue that I worry about. Two, Ray isn't as established in Hollywood as we want him to be.
One, as a black actor,
and then two, he doesn't have the same profile that Jason Momoa, Ben Affleck, Gal Gadot, or even Ezra Miller have. So it's like, Justice League was supposed to be his break that led to that solo Cyborg film, right? And like, I love Ray in Justice League. I really thought that was one of the better parts of the movie. That said, I am worried that he's gonna get black belt. Not because I'm trying to excuse Joss, Jeff, or John, but even right now with marginalized people being an issue and racial tensions and, you know, everything we've done on the protest, being blackballed is still an issue. Because the industry is small, people talk, and then the next thing you know, it's a he said, she said issue. Yeah. And three, what does this mean for his kind of like contributions to the Snyder Cut and the press tour going forward next year? Those are a lot of three things that like make it buddy. And
it doesn't seem like he ever had a beef with Snyder or anything like that. He singled out three people.
Josh, Jeff.
Which means that Josh, and see, this is why we need facts and figures, because now I have to speculate.
Exactly.
Josh probably did something. He didn't like it. He probably talked around to some people. They were like, yo, you got to go to the producers with that. And he said, okay. And then he went to Jeff, and Jeff was like, so? And then he probably went to John later, and John was like, so? And that was it. And he's probably been holding that in his chest for years.
Oh, wait. And,
you know, and I don't doubt that Joss Whedon probably did something good, but us not knowing what it is leaves it in this vague space. Now, I didn't know that WB, you know, returned and made an actual public statement.
There was a statement going around, I think it was on IndieWire. So I was like, all right. And the other part of this is, it's not like he's going after one producer and director. He's going after Jeff Johns, who's pretty much like been DC for a long time.
He's John been a Byrne, DC writer for a long time.
And but he's not also
a DC
he's
producer
like,
for a long time.
Not exactly, but like he's also been on comics, film, and television. So he's kind of in. And then he went after John Byrne. So it's like, it's not like he just went after one, he went after three. So and like, and I'm not saying that he didn't have a right to feel the way he feels or say what he has to feel. It's just solely based, I'm worried about his career because like, I love the dude. I think he's charismatic. I think he's creative. I think he's got this kind of magnetism that you want to discover more about him. And that's why I was like really hoping for that Cyborg solo movie.
Let's be real. The only emotional moments in this movie involved Cyborg and his dad and Cyborg and Wonder Woman. Let's be for real. Those moments I was like, oh snap, we got something here. And then and then we didn't have something. But this could work out in his favor.
Because I hope it does.
Warner Brothers ain't the only studio out there. And of course, we have Spring Hill with LeBron starting up right now. We got what we want, but Tyler Perry does have his own studios. And Marvel could be like, well, look, you ain't happy at home.
I mean, they would have to return because this is like, this could be the thing where DC poached James Gunn after he got fired off for Guardians 3. This could be their being like, okay, Ray, we want you for Black Panther 2.
Yep.
Or, hey, Ray.
Because there's any number of black heroes that, you know what I'm saying, he could be in Marvel. You know what I'm saying? Especially if they're trying to keep that X-Men in the tuck. You know what I'm saying? We don't know what they're doing with X-Men yet. They trying to keep that X-Men in the tuck. Or, you know what I'm saying, look, hey, y'all holler at me. I'm ready to write Voodoo. Not Brother Voodoo, just Voodoo. Let's cast Ray Fisher. I got you. All right? I got supernatural action and supernatural horror on lock.
Or
holler at your boy.
An all-black Fantastic Four, make him a thing. Not to say that what I'm saying is purely based off the build, not because of race or anything like that, but he's got the build support it. So I think if he was the thing, I'd be like, that would be dope. Or if they wanted to make him like a race bent Dr. Doom or Brother Voodoo, or even
go ahead.
No, as far as you like, if you want another Marvel character, heck, man, you could probably based off his build and his acting ability, you could make him one of the leads in that new X-Men movie. But also Bishop. Make him Bishop.
Yep. He could be Bishop.
Like
you could start off the X-Men story in an interesting way from Bishop's perspective in the first movie. There's tons of different things you can do with Ray Fisher in Marvel. So it's not like there isn't any room there. Or, once again, Universal, they got their own stuff going. You know what I'm saying? He could easily be the next leading man for the next couple of Jurassic Park films. Or
he could
be the next villain that has his own two-movie arc in Fast and Furious or something. Or
like,
they can make their own thing. I'm not against the Dark Universe. I'm against how they started it out, but I'm not against that. As someone who loves supernatural horror and stuff like that, I'm not against the premise. The movies they made didn't fit, but I'm not against the premise of it.
Well, we know why. Because
I'm not against of like this weird world where all these things exist. I'm not against that.
Right. And it's like, we know why Universal's approach to the Dark Universe and also DCEU in its infancy was what it was, because everyone was trying to catch up to what Marvel was doing with the MCU.
Yeah. And stop trying to do it in one movie.
Right. And but yet,
because Marvel didn't even do it in one movie.
Right. It took them 23 movies.
It's 23 movies
over 10, 11 years. But even like, and that was the mistakes of having like Kevin DeShara as the then head of, you know, WB Films.
Yeah.
And they didn't really have a DC Films as they do now, having like Walter Hamada in that place and being like, after they got in, Shazam, boom, Wonder Woman, boom. And that was like right off that thing where
like Kevin changing got booted of the guard, I guess.
And came on, exactly. So yeah, Wonder Woman, Shazam. Say what you will about the results, the box office results of Harley Quinn, Birds of Prey, still was a good movie. Was a really good movie. So, you know, and Aquaman. So it's like, and again, Aquaman made $1 billion at the box office, and now you have a movie and two spinoffs and another spinoff coming. So I think.
And then also, don't sleep on the possibility for a TV show. Once all these rights and stuff from Netflix revert back to Disney. So there's an opportunity there.
We'll see. All I'm saying is, because I want Ray to be successful and I want him to be someone that we look at next to, we'll talk about like Viola and everything like that. I'm very concerned about what the aftermath is going to be about this, especially as we head into DC fandom in a month.
Oh yeah.
True that. And that's the other thing that's in like, if they're supposed to, they're in, especially I think Zach is holding back a lot of stuff for that, which is why we got that 10-15 second, 30 second Darkseid tease for the Snyder
with
cut.
Wonder Woman coming into the into like the tomb or whatever. Even though it was weird, you know, I still don't know how I feel about Darkseid with no shirt on, but I mean, I guess you gotta flex. You know what I'm saying? Maybe it was hot.
I mean, the block is hot, bro. The block is hot. It's hot outside.
So he was like, I'm gonna go with my summer gear. You know what I'm saying?
Probably. It's like Darkseid is like, it's like, I want Ray to win, right? I want him to win, but you know me, I'm always concerned about the PR angle. What's the PR angle? What's the fallout? What does this spell for him? And I'm sure if he went to work for Marvel or Universe or not Universal, there would be like, he would have a lot more options and they would be willing to work with him more. Whereas like, I don't know what the studio is going to do about this. And like, he's entitled to feel what he's going to feel, say what he's going to say, but also, you got to be careful because, like, going after Joss, and also I know we focus about Joss, but what about Jeff and John? That's the other part of it because Jeff, he's running Stargirl right now.
Yeah, but so here's my thing about Jeff. Here's why I think this could have more of an upswing for him because even though he went after Joss Whedon, I do think when it comes to power checks power, I don't think Ray Fisher has a lot of power. Hollywood wise, but Joss has definitely been on the downturn. So
that's an upside
for him. Jeff Johns is not the only producer and not even the most decorated producer in Hollywood.
True.
It's not like we're talking about Jerry Bruckheimer or something like that. So that's another one where it kind of works in his favor. Fair. John Berg, even matched with Jeff Johns, isn't all of Warner Brothers. You know what I'm saying? He could end up on the other side of Warner Brothers doing something dramatic in another trilogy about something else. So I think he's said enough to kind of get his point across about his experience without burning the wrong bridges. You know what I'm saying? It's not like he went after like he went after like Bob Iger or something like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, and not to say
he went after Bob Iger. That would be careful.
And I think a lot more people would be asking for proof if you went after Bob Iger, because I don't see, if you look at the thread and the tweet, nobody's really asking for proof. But with that said, we already have tons of people already talking about Joss Whedon up till now, like, he's unprofessional, he's unethical, he's bad, he treated me bad, he treated them bad, blah, blah, blah. So it's like, we kind of are already primed to believe it because we already have all this prior information.
Yeah.
And we don't know if this has been coached from the Warner Brothers side. You know what I'm saying?
That's true.
Because it does seem like Warner Brothers kind of want to get him out of here. You know what I'm saying? At least on their side. And it seems like Marvel don't want to have nothing else to do with him either. You know, they quietly was like,
yeah, well, but so, also Joss, because he's been around and not that excuse, Joss feels like he can insert his influence about the way things are. Like, you remember that whole thing, that whole fallout after Age of Ultron. Like,
yeah,
he went out and basically was like, they either held the film, they held what I wanted to do, you know, hostage, or put the film, the farm scene in. I'm paraphrasing a lot, but there was that whole fallout after Age of Ultron. So, yeah. Like,
and it seemed like, because I remember Age of Ultron, and even if you watch Age of Ultron now, it's actually a watchable film. It's not, I think there was so much hype that people kind of like turned on it, but the movie's fine. But Joss Whedon definitely had a lot to say, and I think that he felt he had the right to kind of like, this is my movie. And Kevin was like, we love you, and that's cool, but this is Marvel's movie. And he tried to hold that movie hostage. We saw kind of the drama. Mm-hmm. He tried to blame Marvel because people didn't like it. And then Marvel was like, we're moving forward with someone else.
Right. And we're changing
our dance partner at this time.
Right. And like, and who's to say, like, I think between the two films that we got with Joss and the Avengers movie and the two films that we got from the Russos, like, I love Avengers 1 and Infinity War and Endgame. But that said, now that Endgame is out, we kind of realize that Age of Ultron is one of the most important movies in the MCU because it set up so much stuff afterwards. Yeah. So
Age of Ultron set Joss up mad stuff.
So definitely Joss had a point. And I'm not. And
but
I'm,
how you
I'm
go about making defending. Your point is probably what messed him up.
Exactly. And it's like, and I'm not defending Joss. I'm just stating what the facts are in the MCU. Yeah. So it.
But then when you look at the Russos, when you look at Captain America,
Winter Soldier, like, dude, Winter Soldier came out and changed the damn game. Like,
yo, that joint came out, people was like, I.
Bro.
These guys are the real deal.
Dude, I saw Winter Soldier. I had the luck of seeing it on the lot, like 3 weeks before it came out on the Disney lot. And literally, my jaw came out. I was like, I was just like, man. What?
Yeah, because they hit you with Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
Then they hit you with that Civil War.
Yeah.
Then they hit you with Infinity War.
And then Endgame.
Did they hit you with Endgame? I'm sorry. Even though Joss did set up a lot of stuff,
right? And
we wouldn't be here without the first Avengers.
No, we wouldn't,
but bruh.
Especially by the way that the first Avengers movie worked.
Yeah.
Like, but let's be honest. Joss brought in Thanos. Like, yeah,
he did.
Just saying. Like, but and again, fair. But he said he brought in Thanos, and then the Russos were like, okay, so Thanos is here, Cap is here, Winter Soldier's here. Okay, here's how we're going to play it.
Yeah.
Bang, bang, it's bang, like, bang, bang.
It's like, you know what I'm saying? He came through. He bought the whip, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, the Russos, they detailed it, put some rims on it, you know what I'm saying? A brand new system, you know what I'm saying? Upgraded the upholstery, you know what I'm saying? Josh brought the cloth, but they put the leather on it. You know what I'm saying? It was
like, you know what I'm curious about? And then we'll move on to the other sauce because I know we got to wrap at 7. But, like, I wonder because we know Joss likes to kill off people. He loves killing off characters. I wonder how far his influence went to Infinity War, because when they went to Infinity War, I think we both saw Infinity War in press screenings. And the press screening that I went through, literally, it was at El Cap, and everyone was silent at the end of that movie. You could hear a pin drop in El Cap, and that is hard. And people were like, what just happened? So, and because I remember when they announced that the double film of before it was, you know, the two-parter, Joss was at the El Cap when they made that great grand announcement of everything from Phase 3. So I wonder, and I theorize sometimes about how far his influence went into knowing what's going to happen in Infinity War. Just putting it out there.
Yeah, because I do remember
just putting it out there.
Infinity War at the end of that joint.
Like, people like
just,
we joke about
people
it
just
now,
silent.
Like I was like, and like when they killed off Black Panther, when Black Panther dusted, I was like, I almost got up and was like, oh hell no.
Yo, that like, was like yo, I was my theater, everybody's like, whoa, hold up. No, you not. Now like, you just got like, this.
Like this man went like they went after Groot, Black Panther, Shuri got dusted. And we found out like months afterwards.
Yeah.
Like, I was so upset. Well,
it was definitely one of those situations where we was like, whoa, hold up. But then you get Endgame and homie come out, everybody fighting this crazy battle. It's the big CGI battle, but done at a high level.
Right.
And I ain't going front. They knew how to handle all of like the geek tease moments in ways that I think Joss Whedon doesn't.
True.
Like you had your A-Force moment. You even had down to your moment when Black Panther looks at he's like, give me the glove.
He goes to Clint. And he's like, that callback to Civil War, he's like, Clint, give it to me. I was like, yes!
Because also, it's a callback, but also, Black Panther has had the gauntlet in the comics. So everybody was like, hold on.
Put the gauntlet on.
Hold on, what are we going to do?
I am the captain now. And just be like, just be done. And just be like, I am the captain.
Man, I was like, yo, if he put that joint on, I was like, yo, it's a rap, B. But then I was like, all right, cool. Y'all just getting your T's on, cool.
Yeah.
But, you know, it worked out. So I think when it comes to Ray, you know what I'm saying? I think he's done a calculated chess move. I think this will work out for him.
Because not so.
Like, you know, I think this will work out for him. I, you know, hopefully because there's more than just one studio out there, but yes, we do know how, you know, people get blackballed and it can be because of stuff like this. So we'll see. Now I did want to touch on one thing real quick before we peace out. Yeah, we got a couple things. Before we peace out. We had that clip of Viola Davis kind of rolling around.
Bro, I got so inspired by that.
Yo, pay me my money.
Like pay me
my money,
like F you pay me, like money. Literally, like, but man, she was talking. I don't know if you want to tell it, but like,
no, go ahead.
Like, so she was on a panel, and she was talking about how people compare her to Meryl Streep, and people, but she doesn't get the same pay as Meryl Streep. It doesn't have the same like filmography that Meryl Streep does. And literally, I don't remember the whole video because I just remember just like sitting there in astonishment. But she was like, people call her the Black Meryl Streep, but they do not pay her the same way. And you could tell she was fired up. And, you know, I'm probably leaving out a lot of details, but feel free to like fill them in. But like, I dropped that video. I was like, this is exactly how I feel sometimes.
The only thing is that she did make a statement about like, yo, look at look at my path. My path has been very similar to hers and hers and, you know, Julia Roberts or any of these other actresses that you want to pay, you know, tens of millions of dollars. Where my money at? Y'all say y'all love me, show me. And right. It just reminds me of kind of what we're seeing a lot now in the professional or, well, not sort of the corporate and political space. You're seeing, oh, well, let's paint the street Black Lives Matter. It's like, but are you going to change the law, though? Because like what she's getting is a whole lot of like surface level stuff that doesn't mean anything. Oh, Viola Davis, we love you so much, man. You're like a Black Meryl Streep. Oh, man, you can act so well. OK, great. That helped my ego out. But what is the real? What is the tangible from this? When is something in my hand? Because if you want to treat me like Meryl Streep, you want to say I'm like Meryl Streep, well, I need to be getting paid like her.
And that part.
One could make the argument that pound for pound, if you pick, because someone would say, oh, well, she's not in any as many movies. You could say, like, say if Viola Davis is only in 5 movies, which I know this is true, but let's say she's only in 5. You can say, okay, let's take those 5 and any 5 Meryl Streep ones you choose. And we can test the acting skills against both. And you'd be like, oh, it's comparable. Maybe she should be getting paid the same amount. So it's, you know, because a lot of times people will jump up and say, oh, well, there's more. You know right. what I'm saying? And just because there's more doesn't mean there's always better.
True.
But there's many times when, you know, Black women are in films doing well and they are not getting the money. And it's one of those things where I'm looking at it like, yeah, they'll always butter you up. You know, this is, sadly, this is no different than the regular brother or sister at their performance review where, oh, you're so great. You're such an asset to the team. Oh, man, we love having you here. You're a great attitude and blah, 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 blah. But when it comes time to talk about getting a raise, somehow,
no one wants to have that conversation.
Somehow, well, you needed 90 points to get a raise, and unfortunately, you only got 88 points. But we really love you. We love you so much.
Bro, you know, like,
and that stuff happens.
I can't tell you.
That stuff happens a lot.
And it's happened to me.
Interesting. I was like, this is interesting. This sounds like the stuff they used to do to my mother. You know? And
it's horrible.
It's not Hollywood, but it's the same thing.
That's the thing. It's not just Hollywood. Like, yeah, I work in Hollywood. I work in entertainment. But like, coming from the agency side of like doing entertainment marketing, that stuff has happened to me a couple times. And as far as recently as last year, or maybe when that was last year, 2 years ago, and you know, I got mad because I'm like, so what you're saying here is, this is basically a great review. I don't have any marks except for like one or two things, but yet I'm not worthy, or I can't have that title, or I can't have that raise. And yeah, I got the raise, but I didn't get the title. And it's like,
that's another thing they'll do.
And that's the thing.
Sometimes they'll be like, oh, we'll give you the title. Here goes your title. You'll be like, what about the money? You're leaving the money part behind us. Right. The money's supposed to come with the title. It's like, oh, well, you know, we don't have any cap in the budget right now. You know, we're changing things around in the budget. There's always some hyper specific reason.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. A lot of what we're talking, at least I had a job and I was thankful to have a job. But at the same time, it's like, okay, I've been here for this time, but I'm still working at this title. And don't get me wrong, I'm thankful for the raise and the money because more money is always a good thing. But also, show me what I'm worth if I am worth this much to you. And that's why, you know, you wait to like, especially like now when Viola drops that, Viola literally has been on TV, theater, film.
Yep.
And, you know,
she has operated at a high level on all of them.
All of them. And she has her own production company. And it's like, but yet, she ain't got that Meryl Streep money. And no shade against Meryl Streep because I like Meryl Streep, but like,
yeah,
money, you know, time, like, give me those roles. So like, but you know, we could talk about that. We could talk about that ad nauseum, right?
But yeah, is I definitely wanted to put that out there because I remember, what is it? Denzel talking about it a long time ago, where he said that he went to his agent. I think he said, give me all of the scripts that Tom Hanks turns down or something like that. And that, you know what I'm saying? Because he's like, look, one, I know I could take, because Denzel is no slouch. He's like, I know I can take this role. He might not like it, but it might be a dope role and I might be able to take it and kill it. And quiet as kept, homie should have won something for Philadelphia, but that's a whole nother thing. Like, homie should have run for Malcolm X. It's a whole nother thing. So it's...
I mean, we're still talking about why Malcolm X didn't get its props at the Oscars.
Yeah,
it's
like, Malcolm X is what? It came out, what, like 93?
Was it like 90? It's like, we're still talking about it.
We're still talking about it. Because whoever won against... Whoever won it, man, watch me
play
this joint. This will be my last thing. Let's see. What movie beat my... I didn't even have to finish typing it. See, 4 months after Malcolm X was released. See, what beat it? Was it... I'm trying to think. It's not showing the list. Unless it's... Let's see. Spike Lee. Was it Unforgiven? No, I don't think it was Unforgiven. Maybe it was. But yeah, I can't find the one on a quick search who beat it. But it's like, come on, man. The dude became Malcolm. Like, the dude became Malcolm. This ain't no, like...
Let's see. So Malcolm X. So best actor, Al Pacino won for Son of a Woman.
I'm sorry. You're gonna have a hard time. I've seen parts of Son of a Woman, but you're gonna have a hard time telling me that Robert De Niro or Al Pacino?
Al Pacino. So like it was like I'm looking at it in this wiki, but like Al Pacino for Son of a Woman won, but then you had Robert Downey as Chaplin, which was dope. I'll say that.
Yeah.
Clint Eastwood in Unforgiven, Stephen Ray in The Crying Game, and then you had Denzel from Malcolm. So like, it was a stacked category. Yeah. But like,
there's some decent films in that. Who won Best Picture though? Because that's another
Best Picture. Yeah, it wasn't nominated for Best Picture. It was Unforgiven. Unforgiven won. Crying Game.
It wasn't even nominated for Best Picture. Man, get out of here! Look, we done. The show is done. Look, I'm joined.
We gotta wrap anyways. But yeah,
I'm joined to my right, left, wherever this guy is. Clement Bryant, say what's up.
That's good. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Clement Bryant. Excuse my bad haircut.
But. NEID, SOUL, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all in places. Podcast if you want to listen. Spotify music for you to get your jams to. We'll see you next time. Thank you for coming through. I can't, not even nominated, man. Look.
It was us to you. At least what I saw. I was too young.
Thanks for watching. And we saying peace.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you coming in? You coming in for some peace? Say peace. All right, y'all, we out.